Somebody said
it's Wednesday. It's all right. We still have church on Wednesday. Wait a minute, drummer. I may have doubts and fears. My eyes be filled with tears. Oh, but Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. I love this part. I go to him in prayer, and he knows my every care. And just a little talk, I said just a little talk. Come on, somebody. Just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Well, let us have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our troubles. Hear our faintest cry. He'll answer by and by. Feel a little prayer, we'll turn it. Know a little fire is burning. Find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. One more time. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our troubles. Hear our faintest cry. He'll answer by and by. Feel a little prayer, we're turning. Know a little fire is burning. Find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. How many can testify to that fact tonight? Aren't you glad? Praise God. We can still talk to Jesus. Well, glory. Hallelujah. Somebody might have a testimony about the healing of cancer this week. Sister Lori, fill us in on what Jesus has been doing. Oh, okay. Well, hey, we can hear it. It's like dessert. You can eat it again and again and again. No cancer. Glory. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord. Thank you, sweet Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, there was cancer, but now there's no cancer. Praise God. I love it when Jesus surprises doctors. Amen. Glory to God. If you have your Bibles, go with us to the book of Judges tonight. Continue to entertain the Spirit of the Lord that is in this place. Same God that was here Sunday morning is here again tonight. Man, I know He is because He hasn't left my side. And I know the very same is true for you. Aren't you glad that the Lord is mobile? Praise God. I'd hate to try to go to work without the Lord. I'd hate to try to get on the highways without the Lord. But I'm so glad He sticks closer than a brother. From the book of Judges tonight, I want to go to the 16th chapter. Begin with the 16th verse. You Bible readers are going to know a very familiar story, but this is where God led me. In the 16th chapter of the book of Judges, beginning with verse number 16, the Bible says, "And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words, and urged him so that his soul," everybody say, "his soul, was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart, and said unto her, There hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak." Everybody say that. "And I shall become weak and be like other man." And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart." Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand, and she made him sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. She began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes, brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit, everybody say, howbeit. The hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Can we bow our heads? Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for your spirit. We thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace for this congregation that is gathered here tonight. Father, I pray that we would be in one mind and one accord, submissive and receptive, God, and obedient to your word and to your will. Thank you, Lord, for the miracles that you performed this week. Father, for the miracles that we know that you're still in the process of performing. I pray tonight, God, that you would anoint these lips of clay. God, it's nothing more than a vessel and an oracle that the Holy Spirit may speak to us. We'll give you praise and honor and glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Tonight, if I had a message title, it would be The Danger of a Weak Soul. The danger of a weak or weakened soul. The Bible says his soul was vexed unto death. Not dead, but dying. But dying. I could not help but begin to think about the analogy and the parallel and the type and shadow here that is from this book of Judges that is so parallel in today's church. Seemingly, many, many folks, their soul has been vexed or tortured or agitated or frustrated to a point that it has become weakened. Not that we have lost out our salvation, not that we have quit believing in God, not even that we quit believing in miracles, but we have become tired. We become spiritually anemic in many, many cases, and the soul has become weakened. Can I tell you one thing? When the soul has become weakened, you don't think, you don't shake things off like you once did. How many remembers when you first received the Spirit of the Lord? How many remembers when the Lord came down and just blessed you and saved you and filled you with His Spirit? My goodness, you thought you could have caught a bunch of foxes and tied their tails together and set the whole world on fire. Can you say amen? You remember that night? You remember when you wanted to call everybody? You remember when you couldn't wait till testimony service because you wanted to stand? I thank God for saving me. I thank God for filling me. I thank God for forgiving me. You remember? Remember that? But over a period of time, so many things come against us. And when we're first born again and we first got that new experience of the power of God within us, we're almost like a power lifter. We don't know what to do. We just want to go and show Satan what we can do. But after a period of time, the devil begins to afflict us. Can I give you a warning tonight? So many times it's obvious for us to see the warning in somebody else's life. But when we're blinded by lust, when we're blinded by desire, when we're blinded by the luring of the world, so many times we become spiritually blind to what Satan is trying to do. I want to remind you of verse number 6 tonight. Verse number 6 casts a whole shadow upon this particular story. Samson should have known better. How many times have we said that? I should have known better. Or if not ourselves, maybe we apply that statement to someone else. They should have known better. He or she should have known better. They should have seen that coming upon them. They shouldn't have given in so easily. But can I tell you, when your soul is weak, amen, when you haven't nurtured and fed that soul like it needs to be fed, the things that you used to shake off, the things that you used to break when Satan would come and try to bind you with situations and problems and all of these things that once you just shook off with no problem at all of a sudden they become a heavy weight. All of a sudden they become a burdensome thing upon us, and it gets to a point, amen, where we realize that we're chained and we can't get loose. Verse number 6 in that same chapter says, "And Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth." And that's not enough. She goes on to say, "And wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee." If ever there was a warning sign, amen. if ever there was a stop sign, say, wait a minute. I don't need to be here. I don't need to listen to this. How many know sometimes discernment tells us we don't need to be there? Please, you know, what does that mean? Don't go there. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to be a part of that. If ever there was a sign, Brother Smith, it was that sign when she said, tell me, I pray thee, what can we do to afflict thee? Now, I have a battle enough with Satan without giving him ammunition. I have a big enough time praying victory in my life and trying to live a Lord, for the Lord without telling Satan my weaknesses. But let me remind you, have you ever said, you know what makes me so mad? Hello? Can I tell you who's listening? The enemy? Say what? Can I tell you just what absolutely aggravates me to death? Oh, y'all ain't never said that. You have never said, man, this just upsets me to the point of no return. This just absolutely gets my goat. I give my goat away so many times, I don't have a goat anymore. Amen. And the whole time Satan's, yeah, okay. Tell me, what can we do to afflict thee? Right then he ought to have got up and shook that off. He ought to have said, wait a minute. I don't need this relationship. Wait a minute. If it's going to impede my service to God, I don't want it. I don't want to be a part of it. Amen. God's brought me too far. I've seen too many miracles performed. I'm not going there. I'm not going to be a part of that. But he didn't do it. He listened. And he began to tease her a little bit. Let me tell you something. You don't mess with the enemy. Come on, you cannot appease the enemy. You can't be friends with him. You cannot compromise with him. You cannot bargain with him. The only thing you can do with him is rebuke him, not in my name, not in the name of the church, but in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He understands the authority of the Lord Jesus. I rebuke you, Satan. Get thee behind me in the name of the Lord Jesus. You cannot appease him. You cannot be friends with him. You can't change him. Man, you know he was an enemy when he came into the camp. But he begins to tease her. And he says, if you will get some whists that are still green, the little twigs, the little limbs that are you know, so pliable, that if you tie me up with those, then I will be as other man. And I will have lost my strength. Now, if it wasn't enough for the very first warning that she said, tell me what I can do to bind thee, when he woke up and realized that what he had told her, she had done to him. Come on, folks. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Samson should have realized then what the enemy was up to. But you know what? The reason that he was not cast down, the reason that he was not forsaken, the reason that he was not or did not give up is because his soul was still vibrant. His soul was still alive. His soul was still sold out to the Lord. Amen. And he knew whatever Satan brought against him, he'd shake it off. He knew that we could tell her that these little whiffs, if you just tie me up. But as soon as he awoke, he broke those things just like if set fire to them. They just began to melt away from his body. Why? Because the power of God was with Samson. Hallelujah. And I know it was the power of God, because if it had been his personal strength, they would not have been able to do anything. But how many knows where our strength comes from? Don't ever get so independent that you think you can make it without God. Don't get so cocky that you think, man, I got through that last trial, I'll get through this one too. You can with the help of the Lord, but don't ever forget who your helper is and where your strength comes from. So Samson stood up, he broke those withes off, amen, shook them free. No resistance whatsoever. Why? Because his soul was strong. His soul was on fire. You know what I'm talking about. How many knows that we've been through problems and we've been through trials, and somebody said, how in the world did you do that? And you'd say, yeah, I don't know. It just was God. Amen. But the reason it was God is because your soul was right and your soul was strong and your soul was in touch with God. And you knew that there was nothing that could come against you that God wasn't able to deliver you from. So then Samson should have just dismissed himself, said, wait a minute, I'm out of here. But he goes right back to the same situation. And Delilah, who has promised this money, she comes back to him then. She says, you know, you're just toying with me. You're just teasing me. You don't care anything about me. What really saps your strength? What is it that really afflicts you? Notice each time he gets a little more in depth to her. Notice each time he conveys a little bit more of where that strength and that power comes from. Let me tell you something, folks. Don't ever get chummy with Satan. Come on. He may come as an angel of light, but he's still a satanic power. Glory to God. He may look like he's okay, but if he's coming to steal, kill, and destroy, amen, you need to have no part of him. And he says, if you'll take new ropes, brand new ropes that have never been tried, never been used on anything before, and if you wrap those new ropes around me, then I will become as other man. What does Delilah do? She goes and gets new ropes. My Lord have mercy. You men, back in your courting days, I don't think they call it courting anymore, do they? They don't court anymore. They just date. In fact, today, sometimes a woman calls a man up. Man, that was unheard of when because I was so nervous. I was always afraid. I just knew that as soon as I was going to ask them, they were going to say no. I just didn't have any faith whatsoever that I was going to get a date. But let me tell you something. If you was dating the same girl over and over, and she kept throwing you under the bus. Come on, man. Once. But twice. And then have the audacity to say, how can I make you weak? How can I aggravate you? How can I vex you? Amen. I might get up enough nerve to ask somebody else. Don't you think? But Samson, he just went back. Oh, you get these new ropes and you bind me with those new ropes and I'll become weak as other man. So that's what she does. Amen. Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He rises up just as any other time. He breaks the ropes asunder. Just breaks them like a thread, the Bible says. Why? Because the power of God was still in his soul. He was still, even though he was tempted of the devil, even though he was tempted of the enemy through Delilah, his soul, I believe, was still strong. His soul was still remembering the power of God and that he was anointed of God as a Nazarite from his mother's womb to give honor and glory to God. And in his soul, he may have faltered. Come on, we've all done that. I don't know anybody that can say, I've never had a problem. I've never faltered or failed. Amen. Thank God for mercy. Thank God for grace. Thank God for his forgiveness, because I feel like I'm the recipient of all of that. Many, many times I fall by the wayside. But don't ever let it afflict my soul. Let me always know where the potter's house is. Let me always know where I can get back to the Father. I may get down, amen, with the swine, but thank God for his grace and mercy. He brings me back to the Father's house. Hallelujah. Because my soul, I can't let my soul become weakened. So he breaks them just like a thread. But then he goes right back to the same situation. Now she's feeling sorry for herself and putting a guilt trip on him and telling him he's just not honest with her and you just don't trust me. You think? I mean, your trust can only go so far. Yeah. After they stood you up four or five times, you might all think, well, you know what? But not Samson. No, Samson went back. And Delilah said unto him, hitherto thou hast mocked me, and told me lies, and tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound, And he said unto her, if thou weavest the seven locks of my head with a web. Look how close he's getting to where his strength lies. At first he was toying with her. Had nothing to do with ropes. Had nothing to do with widths or little limbs that were around him. He knew that he could get victory over that. He knew that that wasn't a problem. But he begins to divulge a little bit closer to where his strength lies. Come on. Think about it. How many times have we told Satan? How many times have we divulged to the enemy where our weakest point is? Gets a little bit closer. He gets to the hair. The hair that was supposed to remain upon his head, not supposed to be shaven, because he was a Nazarite unto God, a promised prophet unto God, a promised judge unto God. And he said, she fastened it with a pin and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awaked out of his sleep and went away with the pin and the beam with the loom still there. He meant even with weighted upon his hair, he was still able to overcome the Philistines. I want to tell you something. Even with these so-called things that the enemy thought he had him bound with, that true saint of God can shake them off. Come on, people. Amen. You're a son of God. You're a child of God. Amen. The things that may get other people down, shouldn't get us down, because the power of God is within us. And he said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. We ought to shake it off. We ought to break it asunder, because our soul is still on fire. But he got a little closer. He said, if you'll just kind of weave my hair and into this loom. I thought, like, even then he jumped up with that loom hanging out of his hair, and he's still able to overcome the Satan and the enemy. Sometimes when you think you're so burdened down that you can't do it, get up anyway. Come on, get up when you feel like you can't fight. Get up anyway. Amen. Get up when you don't give Satan praise. Don't say he's been all over me this week. Why don't you say I've been all over him this week? Amen. My God's going to deliver me. Greater is he that is within me than he that is against me. Get up with that weight on you and go forward. Amen. There's no time to go backward or slack up. Amen. So he got up and he was victorious again. Jumped up with a loom and all, no problem. Amen. Now she's irritated. She said unto him, how canst thou say I love thee? I'm waiting for a response from Samson. Say, do what, woman? You lying thing. You deceiving thing, you. And you want to question my love. Lord have mercy. I mean, that's the boldness of the enemy. Come on. How can you say that I love thee when thy heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. Understand, that's not the time. That's not the point where Samson divulged unto her his strength. The next verse is, and it came to pass. Everybody say, and it happened. I want you to understand one thing. I think I've shared this with you before. Whenever the Bible says, and it came to pass, believe it. It happened. Amen. Regardless of what story it is, even in the New Testament, when it says, and it came to pass. Amen. Can't nobody make me doubt it. It happened. And the Bible says, and it came to pass. When she pressed him daily. So a lot of people think soon as that last time that he divulged unto her, man, he just gave up. No. It was a constant badgering. It was a constant vexing of the soul. Filling him with guilt. Mocking him. Telling him, you don't love me, don't care for me. Constantly bombarding him. Man, to the point, this is where I don't understand why Samson continued, amen, to take that. What do they say? Love is blind? I don't know what it is. But anyway, he continued to listen to the voice of the enemy. And sometimes as ministers, sometimes as teachers, sometimes we wonder why these same people have the same issues over and over and over and over. To a point to a point, amen, that it weakens their soul. Because they know. They've been through battles. They're battle tested. They know what God can do. They are the prime testimony of the delivering power of an almighty God. But yet they get to a point where they no longer seemingly have that strength to break those chains or those things that have them bound. This is very, very important to understand. She pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. His spirit was drained within him. His soul was vexed or tormented or agitated to a point of dying. Now, it wasn't dead, but it was in a dying, lethargic condition. How many believe we can be refreshed in the Lord? I don't know about you. I only know about me. But there's been times in my walk with God, and it's just confession time, that my soul has been vexed unto death. Not dead, but dying. Amen. Troubles can get you down. Affliction can cause you to question your relationship with God. Problems arise on Monday morning just after the Holy Ghost filled service on Sunday. And you can begin to say, God, where are you? Why is this happening to me? Lord, I need your power. But God, I can't seem to feel you anymore. If you've never been there, thank God for it. But I have been to that point where I thought my soul was drying up within me. Where are you, Lord? Need you. She vexed him unto death, unto a situation, man, that his soul was dying. Then he told her, you know what? I can't stand it anymore. I can't take it anymore. Seems like God has forsaken me. If you've never said it, you probably heard some people say it. If you've never said it, you may have thought it. I just don't think I'll ever get back to where I once was with God. That is the voice of the enemy. Glory to God. I wished I had a week to tell you about the redeeming power of God. I wished I could tell you with a seminar that lasted 30 days about His forgiveness. Hallelujah. He doesn't forgive like you and me. We can forgive and we can say it now till we go into eternity. But we still remember when we've been wrong. But let me tell you something about the Lord. When He forgives you, He forgets it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Aren't you glad He doesn't bring it up anymore? We remember it, but He forgives us and forgets it. You get to that point. What's the use? Seems like all I have is problems. Seems like all I have is troubles. Didn't used to be this way when I first got saved. But now it seems like every way I turn, things are happening to me. Samson began to lose that spirit within him. It began to wither away and dry up. And you know, when you're just kind of going through the motions of service, when you just kind of raise your hands when everybody else raises your hands, but you really don't feel like, I don't know who I'm talking to. This don't even seem like a Wednesday night sermon. Amen. This seems like a revival message, but God would not take this off of my heart. Amen. Maybe He just wanted to preach to me a little bit tonight. But when you feel like you can't go on, when you feel like you've done all that you can do, and you just say, you know what, I'm just going to give it up. I'm just going to quit. I can't go any further. Amen. But you know what? That soul is not dead. It's just lethargic. It's just lying there. How many knows it can be revived in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye? The power of God, the resurging power of God can come in and refresh us. Thank God for revival. Thank God I feel His Spirit one more time. I want to tell Samson, get up, son. Get up and shake it off. Get up. God's still God. He's still real. He still heals. He still delivers. He still saves. Amen. God is not dead. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But Samson has become vexed unto death. His soul has become vexed unto death. What happens when that happened? He said he told her all his heart. He told her, there hath not a come a razor upon my head, For I've been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. He's okay so far. But then he says, if I be shaven, then my strength will go from me. And I shall become weak. Be like any other man. How many times was Samson warned? How many times did he have that sign? He said, don't go any further. Don't go any further. Come on, they're out to get you. They're out to get you. She's manipulating you. Satan is a deceiver, but he's also a manipulator. Amen. He makes things look so good. He makes the world look so good. He makes substance look so good. Amen. But every one of those things, amen, is one of his tools that he tries to come against the church with. If you shave my head, then I will be weak like other men. When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up at once, for he has showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. She made him sleep upon her knees. She called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. Can I just share a scenario with you? At this point, the width would have been a problem. Because the strength was gone. Can I also share with you that the new ropes would have probably held him fast? The very things that he shook off now. Come on, does that bring back a remembrance? The very things that we got victory over. The very things that we've overcome through the power of God now bind us. It's not because God is not as powerful as he was. He's all powerful. But the danger of a weakened soul. So this time the Philistines come in. They take him. You know the rest of the story. They gouge out his eyes. And they put him in fetters. Now, this is where this particular sermon came to me. Because I don't know if you've ever questioned God. We're not supposed to. But how many knows we're human? Amen. And I said, God, where did these chains come from? Where did these chains come from? I can't shake them off like I have in the past. Why have these things come? I shook off the withes. I shook off the new rope. I shook off the beam. I spiritually speaking. But where did these chains come from? And if Samson was an honest man, if Samson was a humble man, if he was questioning where these chains come from, he had no other place to look except the mirror. And that's what God told me. I didn't put them on you. You allowed them to be put on yourself. You once had the power. You once had the victory. Shake them things off. You've done it. Through the power of God. But where do these things come from? The fetters. Only could take little bitty steps. My Lord. When he used to be able to run, jump, take big giant steps, now he could just, and had no eyesight whatsoever. This person, once so anointed of God, once so that the power just illuminated through him, the power of God. I also thought about them dumb Philistines. I bet they had to get a different group every time. You ever thought about that? Because them it went up there first time, you know, and then he breaks those widths loose and he just whoops all of them, whatever he does. And I guarantee you'd have a hard time getting the same band to go back up there. Third time, anyway, after them broke them ropes and done stuff, jumped up there with that loom hanging in his head and done hoofed them all. He probably had to get a different set of, you know, it's like Satan just kind of gets different things to come at us all these times. But now we find that the Philistines came up and they overpowered him. That great strength that he once had, the great power that he once had, that struck fear in the very hearts of the enemy, now was just a laughing stock. But I want you to think about one word in this story. And I'm going to share it with you in just a minute, because it changes everything. Glory to God. No matter how many times we fail God, no matter how many times we have laid our head in the lap of Satan, no matter how many times we have dropped the ball spiritually, maybe erred in our ways, there's a word here that gives me hope. There's a word here that lets me know that God is still God. Amen. And God is love. Amen. And He loves us so very much. I love this particular word, and it's simply this: howbeit. Glory to God. Howbeit. What does it say? The hair of his head began to grow again. How many knows it wasn't at the hair? It was in the obedience of God. Doing what God anointed him to do. Can I just pose this? Howbeit, the anointing began to come back. Glory to God. I don't know if you feel that, but I felt that, amen, from every hair follicle on top of my head all the way to my toes. Amen. Howbeit, the power of God, the anointing of God began to come back and let me realize that I haven't gone too far. I haven't completely lost out. Amen. My soul can be strong again. My walk with God can be refreshed again. Howbeit, the hair on his head began to grow again. Howbeit, the power of God began to rest in us again. Glory to God. And when that happens, there is no width. There is no rope. There is no loom. There is no chains. There are no fetters. Amen. That can bind us. Amen. As long as our soul is vibrant, as long as the power of God rests within us. Whatever Satan has come against you with, he's a liar. I just wanted you to know that so many times we have given him information that he afflicts us with. Just remember, as Delilah said, what can we do to afflict thee? Satan is trying his level best to know what he can do to get you down. Is it sickness? Is it affliction? Is it a great burden? Is it financial? Is it relationship? What is it? But I will assure you, Satan will come against you. But as long as your soul is strong, you can shake it off. Glory to God. Shake it off. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm going to try to close. I want to Spend one little thought with you as I close tonight on a message I preached years and years ago at a revival meeting. The title of the message was "The Hand That Brought the House Down." The hand that brought the house down. Ask most people, who was it? Samson. Samson. He got his strength back. And he took those pillars and he pushed those pillars down. Samson was still blind. Let me suggest to you that Samson would have never found those pillars had it not been for a little lad that took Samson and guided him to the pillars so that he could put his hands on the pillars and do that last mighty act of God. You may not be a Samson, but you can be the lad that led Samson to bring the house down. Insignificant in the fact they don't even name him. But that's all right. God knows who he is. And God knows who you are. Amen. You may not be a great evangelist. You may not be a great singer. But you can be the hand that brings the house down. You can come in that door with so much power. Amen. It's your soul so revived that you'll be the spark plug that starts the whole service flowing. And that don't cost you no extra. And I didn't have notes on that. But it's a fact anyway. Amen. Amen. Don't you love the Lord? Let Him know it. Let Him know it. Hallelujah. You may stand. God bless you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Somewhere along the line, churches get the idea that this Wednesday night that maybe God takes a vacation. Maybe He just, not as real on Wednesday night as He is on Sunday. That's not true. God is God every day of the week. And this altar's open. Every time that we have service, this altar's open. In fact, we say we never close it. If you have a need tonight, please come. Please come. We'll pray with you. Man, don't battle it alone. Don't fight it alone. Man, if your soul is malnourished a little bit, that's nothing to be ashamed of. It happened to Samson. It happened to many of the great patriarchs in the Bible. And I dare say it's happened to probably each and every one of us at some point in our Christian walk with the Lord. It's nothing to be ashamed of. What is to be ashamed of if we let it linger? If we don't get it fixed, if we don't come to God and say, Lord, fill me again. Lord, refresh me with that Spirit. Build my faith. Amen. If you don't want to come to the altar tonight, just keep that thought in your hearts and in your prayers. Amen. Before we raise our heads, before we open our eyes, if there's one that would like me to pray for them this week, during any time, just lift your hand and we'll be praying with you. I promise I won't ask you what it's about. God knows, but I'll agree with you in faith that God's going to move. God bless those hands. We love you dearly. Have a blessed evening. Brother Jim, if you would come and dismiss us with a word of prayer. Thank you again for coming. Appreciate you so much.